Our first speaker this morning is J.C. Hobbs. J.C. is an assistant education specialist at Oklahoma State University. His areas of emphasis are farm income tax management, estate planning, farm business management, and farm transition planning. He also coordinates the OSU Farm and Business Tax Schools. He writes a number of tax-related fact sheets, which are available at the website ruraltax.org. I've gotten to become better acquainted with JC's knowledge and skills in the farm tax areas as we serve together on the National Farm Income Tax Task Force. This group provides information to the Internal Revenue Service and develops a plethora of fact sheets and tax-related information for producers. JC brings to the group a unique combination of knowledge about income taxes and production agriculture. JC, we are looking forward to your comments, so I will let you take over from here.
Thanks, Jeff. As he stated, I'm with Oklahoma State University. I have been given the honor of talking about weather-related sales of livestock. What we're going to be talking about today are the rules that apply to two types of situations. One is when we deal with livestock, again, all types of livestock sold to weather-related conditions, that being flood, drought, any condition causing a shortage of either water or feed or both. What it does is the rules allow a taxpayer to avoid bunching of income by allowing the taxpayer to postpone recognition of income, that being gain or sales proceeds, from 1 year to a future year, or even postpone it further by allowing them to replace with like livestock. We'll talk about both of these in detail. The rules state that we have to have, or we need information concerning drought level, declarations, things of this nature. And these have impact on both the two tax treatments. If you look at the sources for drought and disaster information, the declarations, FEMA, Farm Service Agency gets our Secretary of Ag declarations, and then also the U.S. Drought Monitor Maps also gives the drought intensity. And all of these have impact upon the various tax treatments and the rules that apply. So there's two different tax treatments. Both of them apply to sales in excess of normal for livestock. Normal being what is normally the farmer normally sells in a typical year. Due to the drought condition, anything in excess of that would be what is allowed to either be deferred or postponed. The first code section that I've listed there basically applies to any livestock. So calves, feeder pigs, anything that we sell, including draft dairy breeding animals. The second rule, 1033, the involuntary conversion rules, it applies only to draft breeding dairy, no poultry included in that opportunity. So there's the two code sections in case you need to take this information to your tax preparer. I've listed those just in case you might need them. Then we have two types of taxable income that occur. You've got ordinary income. That shows up on the Schedule F, that's sale of calves, sale of feeder pigs, things like this. Also, if for purchased breeding livestock where you have a basis for depreciation, any recapture of depreciation is ordinary income as well. Now, the other type of income is capital gain income. Sale of proceeds from raised breeding livestock. Now, with raised breeding livestock, you've deducted the cost of raising those animals. The basis is zero. So anything that you sell those for is capital gain income. It all applies there. So the basis is zero. When you sell raised breeding livestock, it's all capital gain income. Capital gain can apply to purchased breeding livestock when the sale price exceeds what you paid for them. So if you paid $1,000 for this cow, you've depreciated her down, and you sell her for $1,200, $200 is capital gain income. So you've got two situations, two scenarios, ordinary income and capital gain income that you've got to work with. Now let's go through the first set of rules as they apply to the 451E. That's a one-year postponement to all breeding or all livestock. And all it states is drought, flood, weather condition has to be severe enough that we get a federal disaster declaration. I'll tell you in a moment where you can find information out on that. Basically, FEMA is the primary source. Also, the Secretary of Ag can also have disaster declarations for a particular area. All you have to do is show that the weather-related condition, the drought, caused you to sell more animals than you would have normally sold in a typical year. So if you normally sell 25 head out of your 100 cows annually for culling, this year you sold 50 due to the drought. That excess 25 is what we would be treating for the one-year deferral. Or same thing with calves. If you run out of pasture in the fall or summer and normally would have held those through to the following year, then those sales would be allowed to be deferred. Now, the rule says a cash basis farmer, he has to use the cash method of accounting. And that applies to most farmers. Remember what I said earlier, applies to any livestock. Draft, breeding, dairy, also calves, feeder pigs, doesn't matter. That rule allows for the one-year postponement, so you defer the income from the year they were sold until they would normally be sold. So the sale proceeds deferred to the next taxable year, but there are certain requirements that have to be met. Principal business must be farming. So essentially 50% of the gross income must come from the farm business. And this sounds like a major problem or a major hurdle. It really is not that big of a hurdle to jump over that. So the principal business being farming, not much of a problem. Cash method of accounting. We have very few folks, farmers, that are required to use the accrual method. So most farmers using cash method, so they automatically qualify there. The question of animals would have been normally sold in the following year, basically you're going to have to look at your sales proceeds. That information is available on the Schedule F, and it's pretty easy to find that information by going back to your historical records and seeing what is a normal sale. That's fairly easy to get a handle on. The fourth item, weather-related condition, well, causes us to be eligible for federal assistance. There you've got to go to either FEMA or you've got to go to the Secretary of Ag disaster declarations and determine whether or not those apply. The drought monitor maps will not work in this scenario. Now here comes neat information. The livestock, well, those sold in excess of normal, they do not have to be raised or sold in the declared disaster area. All it has to have is that weather-related condition, the drought, caused it to be declared eligible for federal assistance. To give you an example of how this works, I've got a gentleman that ranches in Oklahoma, and he has a small area or a large area in central Kansas where he runs calves in every summer. Due to the drought we've had in Oklahoma, he sold off the calves early and moved his cows to Kansas. Well, those calves weren't sold in the disaster area, but by the decision to move those cows, that would cause a premature sale. That situation qualified. So they don't have to be raised or sold in the area, but that drought condition had to be caused or had to cause the sale. Now, the sale can take place before or after the declaration is made. As long as the drought condition starts and we see what's coming on, after if the cattle are sold before we actually have a declaration in place, well, as long as it's the same drought or weather-related condition, then those animals will qualify. And history, the taxpayer's history, well, that's used to determine that number of animals that's sold normally and use that to compare it to those that are sold prematurely or earlier due to the drought. Now, the deferral also, sales proceeds, deferred and reported as income in the year following the sale. That would be the normal year that those animals would have been sold. You simply attach a statement to the return showing normal sales, excess sales, and an evidence of the weather-related condition. And normally when you have a FEMA or Secretary of Ag declaration, FSA has declaration numbers that go with those. FEMA also has declaration numbers. And those aren't typically too hard to find. If you go to the FSA website, you can find typically the FSA declarations. Call your state FSA office. They can also provide those for particular counties. So that was the first one, first set of rules. The second set of rules talk about involuntary conversion. Now, what that means is basically we're looking at this and we're taking those animals and we have a decision we can that we are going to replace them at, within a period of time. So the, what the rules state, purchase, replacement, draft, breeding, or dairy livestock within a two-year period, remember, does not apply to poultry, does not apply to calves. Now, the replacement period, that can be extended. 2 years to 4 years if the area has been declared eligible for federal disaster assistance by the, either any of the federal government or any of its agencies. Also, the drought can persist for more than 3 years. That replacement period can even go longer. To give you an example, we've got some counties in Oklahoma. We've just reached our seventh year of extreme, exceptional, severe drought. So our replacement period, we're now into our eighth year of being able to postponing those animal replacements or purchase 8 years. So like I said, that replacement period, it can be extended. It, you don't have to be looking at a four-year plan if the drought situation or drought conditions persist. Now, the animals, you know, they can be held any length of time and still qualify, as long as that weather-related condition causes sale. For example, what happened in Oklahoma, we had guys buying replacement cows. In January, the drought hit. They sold those replacements. So even though they held them probably less than 6 months, definitely less than a year, we could still elect to postpone that recognition until we replaced them within our four-year planning horizon. So it doesn't matter how long we've held them, 1 year or less, or longer, we can still postpone recognition. The gain realized, that can be postponed if the sales proceeds are used to repurchase or purchase replacement livestock within that time period that's prescribed. So that if we've got gut situation didn't go very long, we've got 2 years, extended drought severity, we have 4 years. If we've got disaster declarations that were in place, that extends it to 4 years as well. The only rule states that the replacement animals must be used for the same purpose as those that were sold, dairy for dairy, breeding for breeding. And you're allowed to make separate elections if you've got cattle versus hogs. You can treat the hogs one way, you can take the cattle the other. So separate elections based upon class of livestock, but all in that class have to be treated the same. Again, no requirement that the weather-related conditions cause the area to be declared a disaster area by the federal government, but for those rules to apply, but it does allow us to have a longer replacement period. All you have to do, if we haven't received federal assistance or federal declarations, all you have to be able to show is the weather-related conditions cause the sale of more animals than normal. Basically, what that applies to is you've got to have the drought monitor map showing that we had severe, exceptional, extreme drought. In that scenario, then we have the two-year buyback rules. To make the election, well, you're going to attach a statement to the tax return. Your tax preparer will do this. All he's going to ask you for is evidence of the weather-related condition, evidence that the drought was there, any disaster declarations to allow longer repurchase replacement period. They're going to compute the amount of gain. That would be what you sold them for. And if it's capital gain, ordinary income, but basically the amount of gain realized, the number and kind of livestock sold, and how many of those were, would have been sold under usual or typical business practices, because only those sold in excess of normal are allowed to be deferred. A question that often comes up, and this is very confusing because people look at it, well, if I sold 100 cows, does that mean I have to buy 100 cows back? No, it doesn't. Under the rules for this particular election, if you sold $100 worth of per cow and you sold 10 of them, so $10,000, you do not have to buy 10 cows. You have to buy $10,000 worth of cows. So it doesn't matter how many head it was. You're just dealing in the dollars. So you have to keep track of the dollar spent, and the tax basis in those new cows will be essentially the tax basis of what was sold. Because what you've done is deferred the income tax reporting, so the new animals will retain the basis of the old animals sold. Now, if the drought condition continues, and I don't have this slide in here, but if the drought condition that we've experienced in Oklahoma and some of these areas has gone 7 years, a lot of these folks, it's going to take more than a few years to even get the grass back. Consequently, they're not going to be able to buy cows. There's a rule in the tax code that allows, in that scenario, in that situation where you can't replace with livestock, you can replace or buy back with business property used in the farming operation. So we can buy back equipment, tractors, so machinery equipment, even real property, real estate, in that scenario, so that if we can't buy back cows, we can have a parcel of land we're looking at. Well, the basis in those cows, you're going to adjust the basis in that land accordingly. So all we're doing is postponing the income recognition, income tax bite. We're going to postpone that in the land, and it's going to carry forward. So it doesn't disappear, it just gets postponed. So which options to select? Here comes the fun part, not an easy answer. Economic situations are different. Tax situations are different. Goals are different. Some things to think about, and under the current tax scenario of tax laws, it makes it even more complicated. Here's what we're looking at. If you look at 2012 and our current tax rates, and we're saying, well, I've got this income. Should I postpone it, or should I report it this year and have a clean slate for the future? Well, for 2012, any sales due to drought, our tax rates are 10 to 35%. Lower tax rates than what we will see for 2013. Ordinary income tax rates beginning in 2013, unless something happens, are going to be from 15 to 39.6%. That may make it very much more beneficial to report the income this year and tax it at lower taxable rates. Same thing with capital gains. Under current scenarios, 0-15, 2013 projected 10 and 20%. So some things to think about. Now that 10 and 20% under certain scenarios, if you held the animals more than 5 years, that's 8 and 18, but still it doesn't necessarily behoove the situation of holding on, not reporting that income this year. It may be better to go ahead and pay the tax at the lower rates. Again, you're going to have to talk to your tax preparer and see what it is that is most beneficial to you. Well, I did put that slide in concerning the economic circumstances. If they change related business property, just move it to a different portion. To help, again, make that selection, there's some information on realtax.org. There's tax topics there. The weather-related sales information is a great source of information concerning what it is you need to keep, the rules. It basically contains everything in this presentation that I've talked about in a very, hopefully very simple form to understand. Take that information to your tax preparer, then have them look at the different consequences of the two alternatives, and just because what your neighbor selected may not be the best item or selection for you as well. Like I said, everybody's tax situation is different. Everybody's economic situation and goals are different as well. Well, that pretty much covers the discussion. Jeff, I believe you're responsible for posing questions. I'll be around to answer those.
Yes, thanks, J.C. This weather-related sales of livestock is really important to many of our producers. A couple of the questions. In today's world, JC, many farmers and ranchers form corporations, partnerships, LLPs, LLCs. Some of those LLCs filing as corporations, others as partnerships, and the list goes on. Do these entities still qualify to make the 1033-E and 451-E elections? Are they limited? What's the story there?
They're not limited on the 1033-E because basically that applies to any livestock, any situation. You don't have the same requirements. The one-year deferral under 451-E requires that they are use cash method of accounting. So depending upon the corporation, if you're required to use accrual accounting, which I would be surprised if there are any, that's a pretty sizable operation. A lot of those are still allowed to use cash method accounting. That shouldn't have much impact either.
Okay.
So LLCs, no matter how they're taxed, you've really got to look at what the tax structure is for that entity. And if they use the cash method of accounting, they're fine. If they use accrual method or have elected accrual method, the 451-E election is not available.
Okay. Another question on the 1033-E and 451. You know, as you said, you've had 7 years of drought in some Oklahoma counties. Southeastern Colorado we've had basically since 2001, but the drought has persisted over several years. And it's caused a producer to make that 1033-E election in multiple years.
Right.
And what's the steps that producer must follow to, can he continue to show the number of animals was more than normally would sold? How's that history related in there?
Okay, let me make sure I understand what you're asking. So let's say we had a producer with 1,000 cows in 2001, and he kept reducing his herd.
And yes, due to drought.
So, again, his normal culling practices would have been established before the drought started, the continuation of the droughts occurred. So as the drought has continued, we still go back and look at that history prior to drought conditions. The drought conditions are causing him to do things that are not normal, not typical. Consequently, from where I understand the rules and all the pieces of that puzzle is, he's allowed to still continue to look at prior to drought decisions. Once we got into the drought scenario, we're in an issue where anything basically that's occurred here is in excess of normal culling on a typical basis.
So normal is So normal selling rates are established prior to the drought, regardless of the length of that drought.
Right. So In the scenario where I was just describing, these guys have been replacing some of those animals, but they haven't been able to replace really anything other than just dead animals that have died, things like this. They really have not even begun to attack the situation where they're trying to rebuild the herd or do a true replacement. And so consequently, they're just buying a few at a time. Yes, that does apply to the drought rules, the replacement rules. But under the 1033-E, yes, if we had to turn around and sell those, then we're still under this drought. That continues forward as well.
Okay. What another question that's been posed is, how much documentation and what is sufficient documentation to prove drought caused the sale? Can it be newspaper articles? Does it need to be the drought monitor? What else might...
The drought monitor is probably the easiest one to get a hold of. Also, and I'm not sure I mentioned this, the Internal Revenue Service, every August, nationwide, looks at weather and drought, floods, the whole bit, and looks at the disaster declarations. And they the past notice that came out, it's IRS Notice 2012-62 that came out in September of this year. It lists every state and every county in those states where we've had severe, excess, extreme drought, where we would have had any kind of presidential or Secretary of Ag disaster declarations. So that's IRS Notice 2012-62, and you can go back and find those. Historically, they're on the IRS website, and that is the best way, easiest way, to document every year's drought and disaster declarations. So flood, fire, everything.
Okay. The next question is related to fires. Does wind-driven wildland fire devastation qualify as a weather-related event?
It can. Situation occurred, we had 90,000 acres burn in August of this year in Oklahoma, one area. They basically lost all their animals. We haven't had enough rain to replenish that. They've sold off everything. In that scenario, the fire did get them some disaster declarations. They said no grazing. And again, until it rains in that area, they're not having grass coming back. That allowed them to then use these rules.
Okay. Good.
They burned up all the hay, all their existing feed, everything.
Right. How might a producer handle the sale of business-related horses, be they draft or just ranch-use horses, sold due to drought or disaster conditions?
The same way. Horses, again, if you're looking at replacing them, same scenario. You've got, look at the value of the horse that was sold, horses that were sold, and it's replaced dollar for dollar on those coming back in, and the basis then carries forward. So if you had three horses and you only buy back two, well, the basis of the new two horses will be the basis of the three horses split between the two of them.
Okay. So one final question, JC. Suppose a rancher decides to switch from cow-calf to stocker due to increasing climate variability. Are there any tax policies or strategies that might lessen the tax burden of that person that's selling the cow-calf pairs and purchasing stockers?
Not really. Well, the only thing that can help there is the 451E election, where you can take the sales in excess of normal and move that into the following year. Because when you're switching from cow-calf to a stocker-type enterprise, you're not buying back breeding animals, so for that postponement will not work. So you're just allowed to use that 451E, and to my knowledge, there's nothing else that's really of any benefit in terms of those. Now, I guess if you look at it from the standpoint of excess sales, you could probably use some of the income averaging rules, some things like that. Roger may be talking about those pieces in his section, but there's some other tax planning tools out there that you can use to level income, pre-purchasing expenses, things like that, plus also income averaging, those issues which we didn't really touch on in this presentation.
Right. Well, thanks, JC. We really appreciate your time and knowledge, willingness to share those skills with people across the country. I guess one of the strong take-home points that I have from your presentation is, you know, we're more knowledgeable, but we better talk to our own tax preparer to see how these rules might apply to our own operation.
That is correct. So,